You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Good morning. Ken Connors is off. Dan Laxer is, I'm Dan Laxer. That's me. Replacing Ken. And that's the laugh of Walter Assey of Renovco, who's in studio with us as always. You're welcome. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastically. Renovco, basically, they're the home repair and renovation authority in Montreal. And in terms of scheduling renovations, is now a good time or is it too late or too early? Or?
It's actually a good question. Yeah. Most people don't know that the really crazy season starts in August.
Okay.
September. Because most people don't want to renovate while their children is at home off from the school. So yeah, they want to have it done in September when during the day their kids are in school and they come back and they don't disturb the summer and they can enjoy it and so on and so forth. So it's also the weather is still good. You mm-hmm. have up until really November that you can still, end of November even, mm-hmm. you can still easily do renovations by and open windows and so on and so forth. So it's that's when, I mean, it goes crazy in the spring, but in August, September, it just goes nuts. That's
really
usually what happens.
So that's, they start to book in August and September to start later, or?
Well, usually they start, like the August, September callers are the last minuteers that just see the winter approaching and there's something that they're panicking about and they yeah. want it done. That's usually the calls that we get. Like, I need it done yesterday because my roof is leaking or my foundation crack or, you know, they see now it's near. When the weather is nice, we don't think about it as much. But as soon as it gets colder or they see that, you know, winter is approaching, that's when we get these types of calls. And they're usually emergency calls, if you wish.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I mean, in this time of day, there's no expectation. Someone calls you today and you're going to start the job tomorrow. If a contractor does that, then you should worry. And that means he doesn't have enough business. And then you should wonder why.
I'll be right over. My name is Al. Well, speaking of calls, they're pouring in at 514-790-0800, Star Talk on Bell Mobility. And 1-800-491-CJD. We've got a Tony and a couple of Donnas. Let's start with Donna in Rosemont. Hi, Donna. Hello, Donna. Hang on one sec. Don't go away. Jimmy, do we have Donna? Hang on. Hi, Donna.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome.
Hi. I have a question regarding a renovation that I had done in an eightplex. It's a 60-year-old home. And I went from a dual energy system from hot water, oil heating, to electric baseboards. I have two questions. One is there was no changes made to the hydro connection, so I'm still on 400 amps, and I'm questioning whether this is sufficient. And the other question is regarding a triplex, telling me that the triplex connected with my home has to be changed because the wires are old. And the whole reason why I'm questioning all of this is because at the same time I'm doing another renovation, a bathroom renovation, and I had another master electrician working on my home, and he looked at the work that was done, and he's questioning why they just did not change the whole system. He's telling me I am on the border with the 400 amps. Really, a house this size, an eightplex, really, it should have been upgraded to 500, which would have meant a lot more renovations on their part. So I'm was wondering, how would I be sure that what was done correctly?
Okay, so the electrician did say you're on the border. He did not say you're exceeding the needs. That might be good news for you. If he would have told you that you're for sure above your need, then we would have had issues. Because, I mean, upgrading to 500, 600 amps, it's not such an easy thing to do. It requires a lot of work. You have to change the switch. And then, you know, hydro have to bring the amperage and so on and so forth. So it's not like a straightforward, let's do it on a Monday afternoon type of a job. So, I mean, to give you a straight answer just like that, I can't just, you know, give you a ruling immediately. Yes, you are borderline, you are exceeding. One of the telltale signs usually is that you start having breakers popping off here and there, and you will see that, you know, things flickering and so on and so forth. That's usually if you want to know yourself if there's an issue. If you're not really sure 100%, then, you know, calling an electrician, master electrician, making the proper calculations, just you give them the job just to calculate the loads. And then they do a calculation, they have all their charts, and within a day, he will give you exactly what's required and what's needed.
But where? How do I find these guys? Because I called even the Order of Electricians, and they don't seem to have any particular inspector that could come and inspect what was done. There seems to be an issue with that.
Okay, so the good news for you is all master electricians are trained to calculate loads. It's part of their training. Matter of fact, it's a core part of their training. So any master electrician can do these calculations for you, no problem. Okay, you don't need a specialized guy to come and tell you if your panel is, you know, if to calculate the amperage and how much you need and so on and so forth. They're all supposed to do it. And then when they do their calculation, they tell you exactly what you would need. You know,
we just finished the calculation. Well, I would hope that the company I chose.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I hope that the company I chose knew what they were doing because, you know, it was master electricians that came here to look at it. It's just that. You know, I seem to have, you know, had a concern when one says one thing and one says something else. And also the triplex between the two of them in the same company, there seemed to have been an issue regarding whether the triplex should be changed. But they called me back and said the triplex would be changed according to the needs of the building. The wiring would be done according to what is already existing. They wanted to change it because it's the wires are old. Mm-hmm. Would that cause any issues also, changing triplex? Which is associated with my building, not the hydro portion, but just what's attached to the building. Is that an issue as well, changing the wires on the outside?
I'm not following how would an aplex be attached to a triplex as far as hydro lines are they two different addresses?
No, it's the same address, but they just told me that there's a triplex on the outside of my building. They're my wires that are attached to my building, and they're telling me that that should be changed because the wires are old.
Oh, the triplex is not yours, the eightplex is.
No, the wires. The wires are called triplex wires.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying there's a triplex apartment.
They're saying the triplex, the wires, called...
Yeah.
A triplex, that they should be changed as well.
Okay. I mean, wires that should be changed because they're old, it's a good practice. Is it obligatory? Not necessarily if there's no danger.
Okay.
So, I mean, I would definitely have a second opinion because, again, changing wires is a big job. So it's not, you know, you're not changing a light bulb. Always get a second opinion. Not necessarily old means change right away or go that drastic. You might have few lines that needs to be changed and others are doing well and not causing any trouble unless you have aluminum wires. And then even then we have connectors to the panel that do not require you to change everything. So what I'm trying to say is he might be right. I can't make a judgment over the phone like that, but when any contractor suggests something way too drastic from the get-go, always get a second opinion. Always get a second opinion because you know there are some contractors that like to go to the full throttle and you know remove everything and demolish everything, and others like to be a bit more meticulous and check each line and tell you what really should be done. He sees the panel, he sees maybe a couple of wires that are not doing well, and then you know he just scraps the whole thing.
It's basically I just didn't understand why the power itself was not changed. They put radiators in each of the homes, and the panels were changed, upgraded, because they were old panels, fuse panels. They upgraded them to breaker boxes. Of course, they made holes everywhere in the home where, you know, to connect all the radiators. But the panels itself, which are associated with hydro, they said it was sufficient. So that's really what I was questioning, how to be 100% sure that what was done was accurate.
So
after I had the second master electrician telling me he would have gone, as you're saying, full throttle, he would have changed everything. So I don't know anymore.
So if they touch the panel and they increase stuff and it's power and you don't have enough of it, they are on the hook, especially if they told you that it's sufficient, okay? remind you that the second electrician did not tell you that it's not sufficient. They said, he said it's borderline. Borderline is good. You maybe overextended yourself, but you're not over the limit that you're required to do. So again, watch it closely. If you can get a third party just to have to reassure you and have a peace of mind, then you could. But you know, if it's not broken, don't necessarily fix it. Just have it inspected. Look what needs to be done and do what needs to be done. And it's an Aplex at the end of the day, and you're expecting it to make money for you. So
there you go. All right, thanks for the call, Donna. I hope that helps. We have another Donna on the way and a Tony.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
With Walter Assey of Renovco, who's in studio with me, Dan Laxer, and we go back to the phones. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning. I have to replace a floor in a basement apartment, mm-hmm. which is not touching the concrete floor. Now, first of all, I'd like to know if I need to cover the concrete with something before I begin the project.
Is there a subfloor right now, or just right. You're going to put the floor right on the concrete?
There's a floor right now with an existing floor with the supports that given way, so I have to replace it, but I'm not going to place it on the concrete. I'm not placing anything on the concrete.
Okay. What kind of a floor do you have right now?
It's a hardwood floor.
Okay. So there is a plywood underneath it.
Plywood or the old planks. It's an old building, so maybe they have the planks.
Yeah. So the good news is that you do have a subfloor, and that's good. That means there's some type of a barrier between the concrete and the wood that you're going to install.
Correct.
What you want to ensure, if you can, is that usually in those days, they used to put felt paper, black paper, like 15-pound black paper.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You want to ensure that is, like, since you are doing that type of work, that the black paper is still in good condition.
Okay.
Because if it had water, it used to be great when it's blocking the humidity coming out from the slab.
Correct.
But anything that comes from above on it is a problem. It creates mold. It stays there because it acts like a sponge. So that's why we don't use it anymore. Right now, we use a Delta membrane. We put it on the floor to cut the humidity because, it was discovered later it was not a great tool to have. So while you're at it, check it just to make sure it's in good shape. And if it's not in good shape, then you might have another conversation with me about that.
Okay.
But the fact that you have that barrier between the concrete and your floor, it's good. You don't need to do anything else. And if you don't have a felt paper, I would like you to also look into it because you don't want concrete on wood, on cement, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want wood on cement.
Right.
Because that would have rotted throughout the years. So just inspect the subfloor, see what's going on. Don't be scared from peeking in. Make a hole in the subfloor and see what's going on.
I'm removing the floor completely.
You're removing the floor, but are you also removing the plywood? Or no, the lats or whatever.
No, I have to strip it because the
right down to the concrete.
Yeah, I'm going to take everything off because the supports underneath have given way. So
okay, so that we do have rot then. Okay, then here's what you're going to do. You're going to rip everything out. You're going to wash the concrete slab with TSP.
TSP, yeah.
Okay, make sure that this is nice and clean, and then, as a minimum standard, you're going to go with a Delta membrane on top.
Okay.
Okay. That will cut your humidity. It's great because it's waterproof. Okay. And it's virtually indestructible in the sense that, you know, any water, anything that comes to it, it does not really affect it. So it's a good product to have as a start. Now, if you want to have, it's preferable that you put some type of a subfloor, like a dry core. Or if you want to go with a conventional one, 2x3s, 2x4s, and then tongue and groove plywood, and then put any type of material on top, that would be great. If you don't want, at least start as a basic with the Delta membrane.
Okay, I'm about 6 or 7 inches off the concrete. The floor is about 6, 7 inches.
Okay, because your floor joists are raised. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Still, you would need some type of vapor barrier coming from the slab. If not, the apartment is going to smell humid.
Right,
especially
okay.
in those days, if it's an older home, they didn't used to put geotextile under the slab. The slab is not, didn't used to be 5-6 inches. Maybe it is, but most of the cases it's not. So a lot of humidity would seep out of that slab. So if you have access to it and you're ripping everything out, and if you can put that delta membrane, that would be awesome.
Okay, good.
It's not expensive, right. by the way. It's not cost prohibitive, and labor is not that complicated either.
All right.
Okay.
Should I insulate, doing some insulation down there of any kind?
It is, that depends. I like to insulate anytime I have a slab. So even if you go with styrofoam tongue and groove 2 inches, that works awesome. That works very well.
Yeah.
You know, if you feel that the apartment is cold and there's a need for it, then definitely go for it, for sure. Just make sure that any product you use is tongue and grooved and glued to the slab itself, so it works much better.
Okay. Now, instead of plywood,
we're going to have to move on, Tony, because we've got some other callers, but I hope what we've told you helps. Thanks.
Yeah, just to know if there is a replacement for plywood, that's all.
Replacement for plywood? Like, what do you mean?
Something else, but instead of plywood, which is a cheaper price.
Plywood is the cheapest that you could go. You can go with agglomerate presswood. Presswood is cheaper than plywood. So it's an agglomerate type product.
All right, Tony. I guess Tony's not there anymore. Donna, hi. Thanks so much for waiting.
Hi. I've got a deck that I put Australian timber oil semi-transparent on it 3 years ago. And of course, over time, it wears off in spots. My question is, if I put Australian timber oil again, but not semi-transparent, opaque, do I need to sand to make it all uniform so that it's going to hide those bald spots that are there now?
Anytime you need to treat wood, you need to do a light sanding to open up the pores, or else it's not going to suck it in. So the best way for you to do it is to reapply uniformly everywhere, and you kind of light sand the deck. First, before you do that, you pressure wash it to make sure it's super clean. It's super, there's no residue, there's no grease. And then you do that with a, light sanding. We just want to open up the pores so it can receive nice ants and suck the material in. If you don't do that, then there's a very good chance it's just going to stay on the top. It's not going to absorb it.
Thank you very much.
So just a light sanding.
That's correct.
Okay. Thanks so much, Donna. Cheers. It's the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800. Dan in for Ken and Walter Assey of Renovco here in studio with me at 514-790-0800. Star Talk on Bell Mobility. You can call toll free as well. 1-800-491-CJAD. And you can text your questions in to 514-800. We've got more of your calls and questions coming up. And that's coming up after the 9:30 news. I've lost track of the time. The 9:30 news with Don Kagan Fleming. Walter Assey is the president, of course, of Renovco. Been around for how many years now?
22 years.
There you go. And we'll get to this before the show is out, but just so people have an idea, it's runoffco.ca.
.com.
I always get that wrong. And the phone number.
514-856-9993.
There you go. And but our phone number is here, 514-790-0800, Star Talk on Bell Mobility, and 1-800-491-CJD. When we come back on the other side of the 9:30 news, we have a question about replacing an electrical box.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
With me, Dan Laxer, and Walter Assey of Renovco, our number's here, 514-790-0800, Star Talk on Bell Mobility, and 1-800-491-CJD. Let's go up to Ahuntsic now. Hi there, Carmi.
Yes, hi there. My question was, we had one of those wall-mounted AC units installed, and were then told we didn't have enough breaker slots mm-hmm. on our panel box to actually hook it up, and they're recommending we change the whole panel box to a bigger one. We have a 42 slot. They're recommending a 61 and to bring in more amperage. So I was wondering if that's our only option or if there's another option we could look up, like a sub box, and if that's the case, is it a safe option?
How old is your panel, number one?
Oh, it's original to the house, so probably from the early 60s.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is it fuse or breakers?
Breakers.
Okay. All right. So the panel is fairly old, right? It's 50, mm-hmm. almost 50 years old now. That's already telling me that, you know, changing and upgrading the panel is not a bad thing. How many amps do you have right now in the house?
I'm not really sure. I think it's 200 amps, but it could be 100 amps because we were told we should bring in more amperage.
Okay. So if it's 100 amps, you are 100% in need of upgrading your amperage to at least 200%. I mean, and here's the thing. The future tells us even 200 amps is not going to be enough one day.
Mm-hmm.
Particularly for electric cars. Because,
exactly.
Yeah, in electric cars right now, if you want to take the smallest amperage that we can have to charge an electric car is 40 amps. But they like, you know, we always like the 60 to 80 because it's faster. So the new standards are above 300 amps. That's going to be coming in the coming years. So definitely you're going to be steamrolled with everything that we need with just 100 amps mm-hmm. in your home. I would definitely upgrade to 200 amps minimum, and I will upgrade the panel as well.
Very good. Well, thank you very much. Very
All right.
helpful.
My Thanks.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Good to hear from you. 514-790-0800. Start talking Bell Mobility, 1-800-491-CJD. You can also text your questions into 514-800. What is the average right now for amps in a typical house?
Well, most people have the 200 amps. But, yeah. you know, as soon as we're going to start venturing more into the electric cars, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Okay. It's going to be a problem because, you know, most households have an average of two cars.
Yes.
So that's 80 amps minimum just going for that particular thing. So you're only left with 120 amps for the rest of the house. You know, that's...
Yeah.
You know, that's for dishwashers, hot water tanks, furnaces. It's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why this is a conversation that nobody's having, but we should be having.
Yeah.
More particularly, and this is coming faster than we think. A lot of companies are their targets for to stop, you know, gas-powered cars is by 2025. That's like only 3 years from now.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe in 10 years, we're not going to have access to these gas-powered cars, quote-unquote, and now, you know, what do we do with all the electricity in our houses? So it's a great time to think ahead because I guarantee you that when that time comes, you're going to have flocks of people upgrading their panels.
When we've had a couple of calls this morning already about electrical panels. When you make a change, that has to, even if it's done by a master electrician, you still have to have it inspected by Hydro-Québec?
Well, Hydro-Québec themselves have to do a portion of the job.
Okay.
So it's not, you know, he calls it in and he gives his number. And yeah, so there is a Hydro-Québec implication in all of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
They are part of the process, really, because, you know, he does what he needs to do from his end, but then they have to increase the amperage from their end as well. So it's not, you know, it's a team thing. And it doesn't happen overnight. That's the thing. If you need of it in an urgent fashion, it could be anything you're thinking about. Like, I'll give you an example. Sometimes we have in the winter fires, homes that have fires, and we need electric temporary panels to give them temporary heat. It can take sometimes Hydro up to a month to come. Our electrical
just to do a temporary
portion is done. That's correct. And for them, nothing is urgent. So, you know, for you, yes, the pipes could freeze and this and that, but... Too bad, too sad. So, so you have. That's why I'm saying this is something that you really have to plan ahead, and you cannot be under duress when you do it.
Okay.
To go back on Tony's call earlier, I was talking about the agglomerie for the plywood. It's OSB as well. If you want to have another term for it, it's about half the price. I just looked it up. He will save about 50%, 24 versus actually less than half. So about $24 a panel versus $52.
Okay.
So it's less than half the price.
Excellent. We just got a text in to 514-800. The texture says, it's Wesley in Vaudreuil. I want to plaster and paint my garage. It was drywalled when the home was built in 2006. Is there any sort of special surface preparation I should do for the old drywall sheets?
Not really. Mm-hmm. Not really. Just make sure that, you know, when you're taping your, and when you're doing your mudding and your taping, that if you have any joints that are badly done between the in the drywall itself, and make sure that you fix that before. Don't like try to be a hero and plaster that, because a lot of cases the plaster comes out terrible, and it's way harder to fix after the plaster is done. So you know, it entails a lot more work. So make sure that the joints are nice, and you know, you don't have huge openings or huge gaps. Make sure that you don't have a lot of humidity in the garage. The garage is a very humid place naturally because it's not air conditioned. So if you're doing it over the summer, if you do have humidity, you're going to have a hell of a time trying to get this plaster to dry. So good advice is a day or two before, put a dehum inside the garage, bring it down to nice, you know, dry levels, and then start working your plastering as you go.
Okay, excellent advice. Back to the phones we go. This is Joy. Hi there, Joy.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. It's a
pleasure.
Bit of an unusual question. I just got this puppy, adorable little puppy, and I need to be him on the balcony, but I live in a condo and it's pretty high, and I have slats. It's a very big balcony, and I don't want to put like a chicken fence across it because I have beautiful view, and I'm going to lose the view. Is there anything I can put across?
Mm-hmm.
I heard there was something transparent. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, so I can give you a very quick, cheap solution to that, and if you want to see how it looks like, it's pretty much everywhere you go right now.
Okay.
It's plexiglass.
Oh, is that what you see? What you see on the balconies? Like people
well,
now have.
That's what you see in
on
all
their stairs.
Yeah, well, that's what you see in most stores now. You have that, you know, thing that is in between you and the teller, and
yes,
yeah, and the supermarkets. You see it everywhere.
So can I just do that myself?
Of course.
Just buy the plexiglass and attach it with what?
Well, you could attach it with strap wire. You just have to poke a hole in it, and then, you know, you can just strap it, you know. Those.
And is it bendable? Because I have sort of a semi type of circle type of balcony.
It's not as bendable, but it's not a very strong material, but it's not too bendable either. So, you know, I don't know what the bend is like.
I would probably need someone to install it then. I mean,
well, what you could do to if it doesn't bend on the bend, just change the angle with the plexiglass itself. You know what I mean? Like,
in other words,
you don't have to follow
squarish.
The curve. That's correct.
Yeah.
One shorter side and then a longer
Bravo.
Side and then a shorter side.
Bravo. So you don't get anybody to come and charge you crazy amount of money for that.
And I can pierce a hole with a drill press or something?
Yes, you can. Yes,
that,
you can.
That's my grade 10 industrial arts course. It's an all-girls course class, and they put us in industrial arts. So that I sort of remember.
Nice.
Yeah.
Joy, what kind of puppy did you get?
He's a purebred a poodle. Because my daughter-in-law is allergic, so we had to get something. But he is so adorable.
Nice.
Except that I don't have patience.
Understood.
I'm old, but I love him dearly.
Yeah.
I love him dearly. He's become the family pet for
Great.
My son and his kids as well.
Well, thanks so much for the call. I
Thank
hope it helped.
Thank you for helping me.
It's the home.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye. It's the Home Improvement Show on CJD 800-514-790-0800. Star Talk on Bell Mobility, 1-800-491-CJD.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Our remaining moments on the Home Improvement Show with Walter Assey of Renovco. And we just got this text. Oh, before we go to the text, we were talking with Joy, who wants to sort of kind of fence in her balcony with plexiglass for her puppy. And Walter,
yeah.
You got a text from someone on your team.
Yeah, I did, and they sent me a link to a product I was just reading about, which looks fascinating, actually. It's called the Crystal Flex, a clear, flexible PVC, And it is the new alternative for plexiglass. Now, what's great about this in particular, it comes in a roll like in a carpet. So it's really bendable and flexible. It even looks thinner than plexiglass. So if you're doing an application like Joy was looking to do, it's actually a product that is easier to work with for her, especially that she have that weird angle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not expensive either. The roll is like $39.38. So maybe she should look into that. Crystal Flex, a clear flexible PVC.
Okay. Joy, I hope you're listening still, and I hope that helps. We just got this text to 514-800 on a 3-season cottage. Should I use gyprock or wood to cover the ceiling for temperature changes such as freezing?
That is a great, great question. If you are going to use, I wouldn't like to use a drywall in a place where that is not heated due to condensation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if you absolutely need to use it, I would use a hydrofuge type because it's treated for humidity. I would rather that he uses wood if possible. And if he uses wood that is treated like cedar wood that is good for the outside, even if he would use some type of a plywood, you know, those plywoods that they come select, it will work. So there are some exterior plywoods that are made to take humidity. And especially if you paint them, they can even resist more humidity. So I would look into that.
Okay.
More than drywall, for sure, hands down. I would go with wood if I can.
Interesting that you say painting them would make them more resistant to temperature. A specific kind of paint?
Well, you know, any time that you treat any piece of wood and you paint it, it becomes impermeable and it becomes it fights the weather. So even if you take a piece of pine, even soft pine, and you paint it, plywood we have it's easier to manage. It comes in bigger sheets, half inch, quarter inch thickness as well, 5/8. So you can choose the thickness you want.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just. And cheaper. It's cheaper to get as well. That's why we're talking about plywood specific. If it's something that he doesn't need to change to make extremely nice. Although there is very nice plywood. There's select faces of plywood that you could, you know, build cabinets with, and you paint it. It looks fantastic. He can also have the cedar tongue and groove type of look.
Yeah.
And that's a great piece of wood to resist also the elements and the condensation and the humidity as well.
And is it being treated before you paint it, or does
That's a good question. Some of them, you can treat it right away. You have to wait a few months, sometimes up to a year.
Yeah.
So if you're going with the regular treated wood that you buy from the store, they usually tell you wait a whole year before you treat it.
Okay. Makes sense. One of the things that Renovco does is windows and doors. Mm-hmm. And we talk about windows and doors in terms of, you know, the winter and keeping the cold out. But it's also important, or is it as important for the type of weather we're having today? It's going to be hot. It's going to be humid.
100%. Mm-hmm. I mean, we kind of overlook summer, but summer is still a few months and it still have some very hot days, and we do use air conditioning here in the summer. So it's not like we can't really, 30% of our energy usage usually is in the summer, right? And if you take the whole year. And that's where we talk about low E argon gas and we talk about double low E argon and, you know, the different features a window can have.
That's the gas that's between the panes.
That's correct. Okay. And, you know, the film on the panes itself. So usually a good quality window keeps the heat in the winter and the cool in the summer.
Yeah.
You know, and that it also plays with the position of the sun, because the sun is higher and, you know, lower versus winter and summer and so on and so forth. And these are things that we need to look at when we are purchasing a window, is how efficient it is, what are the features, And even the look, to be honest with you, if you look at a cheap, flimsy window versus, because it's a curb appeal. Look, if you look at the outside of the house, 25% of your house is windows.
Yes, of course.
So you need them to be good looking, whether we like it or not. You know, as you put those cheap, flimsy windows and it's going to make your house look cheap.
So, you can tell.
Yeah, you could tell. So, you know, you need the reinforced bars. You need, I like windows that have robotic welding. Technology. Okay. So not manually assembled. Anything that a human hand can touch is prone to human error, right? Mm-hmm. So you need, you know, so when you are assembling a window and the machine is robotic assembly and, you know, everything is quality tested, you are kind of eliminating these types of mistakes, mm-hmm. okay? Triple pane in certain cases, depending how, which way you're... house face, if it's a wind current, sometimes you use triple pane in one area and double pane in another. So there is a bit of a science around it. So, you know, if you're facing a wind tunnel area, triple pane is something that you might want to look into. If your house is in a corner or on the water, that's another thing because the wind is usually stronger. So it have to have more wind rating, okay?
So you might have different kinds of windows on different sides of your house, depending on where or what is positioned.
We've done that before, 100%. Specifically, mm-hmm. if they're the kind that is particularly bad. Like, we do that a lot on home waterfront.
Yep.
If the client doesn't have the budget for triple pane everywhere, at least the side facing the water, because usually it's open and there's nothing to break the wind, especially if there's no trees.
Yeah.
So that is a must. Okay, that is a must. There's certain areas on the lake that is more windy than others, like the Lake of Two Mountains. I mean, yes. Forget it. It's really, really windy, right? So there we definitely would recommend triple pane glass and with all the priorities that comes with it as well.
Okay. Just got a text from Lorna wanting us to repeat. It's Crystal Flex is the rolled up plexiglass, right?
That is correct.
Crystal Flex, Lorna.
And I don't own any shares in that company.
Yeah, fair enough. But maybe now.
It's a good idea.
Walter Assey is the president of Renovco. It's renovco.com.
514-856-9993.
856-9993. Thank you so much, Walter.
Always a pleasure, Dan. Thank you.
And thank you, Jimmy G. This was a great morning. Stay tuned for The Car Show with Lisa Christensen coming up after the 10 o'clock news.
The Home Improvement Show, brought to you by Electrica, now offering residential heating, air conditioning, and ventilation services. Call 514-768-7778.